Can you tell me the story of how Jesus is born?
An angel appeared and she said to Mary that there was good news because she was going to have a baby named Jesus.
They saw the star and they followed it and they found the baby Jesus.
Why the wise men went to Herod looking for the new king to be born, and the king, Herod's advisor, told them that there's a prophecy that a baby would be born in Bethlehem.
But the Lord told the three wise men not to tell where they were because he would kill him.
They came to give him presents.
If I was a wise man, I would bring him a blanket and I would say, "Happy birthday, Jesus."
Why do we celebrate Christmas?
I know. Because it's Jesus' birthday.
Yep, I was going to say that.
Well, good morning to you. My name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Peace. And let me start by saying this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. 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 So I also want to say to those here in the worship center, to those joining us in our venue, to those in our gym, hello, and also to those who are joining us online, to everybody I say this, Happy New Year. Oh, you're overjoyed, I see. High hopes for this year, right? So you're probably wondering, it is the new year, so why in the world are we still talking about Christmas? Why are we still in the midst of a Christmas message? That's a great question. Here's why. In the Christian calendar, today is a Sunday that we don't often celebrate. In fact, not a lot of churches often celebrate this day, but this is a unique day in the Christian calendar. Today is what's known as Epiphany Sunday. Some of your calendars may have that, and you just wonder, what is this day? Even as I said the word epiphany, you may have thought of our like cultural notion of an epiphany, which is like I had a sudden insight or a sudden revelation into something. And that's kind of the idea. Epiphany comes from the Greek word meaning to reveal. And so today is a day that Christians historically have celebrated and remembered the fact of the wise men coming to visit the baby Jesus. And so here's the tie-in. The wise men represent the nations of the world coming to see the baby Jesus, and that is the Sunday where Jesus was revealed to the nations. That what started as a Jewish thing quickly branched out into a worldwide event. And so Epiphany Sunday, and today what we're going to celebrate, and you heard the kids tell the story, we're going to focus on the wise men and their visit to the baby Jesus as we wrap up our sermon series. In this sermon series, if you haven't been with us, we've been looking at this one declaration of the angel to the shepherds when the angel said this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And through the sermon series, we've been kind of taking phrases from this great declaration and we've been preaching through it. Well, today is the day where we look at this final phrase, all the people. What does that mean? One thing you should know is also that the story of the wise men is only found in the book of Matthew. And while we've been studying the book of Luke, today we're going to look at the book of Matthew. As we walk through Epiphany Sunday, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. If you grabbed one of our Bibles when you walked in, that's on page 1026. But it'll also be on the screen if you just want to follow along as I'm reading. So let's read our text and then we'll get to it. So Matthew chapter 2, here we go. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet,'" speaking of the prophet Micah, the prophet Micah says, "'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" We're going to continue on verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may too come and worship him." Pause right there. If you are unfamiliar with the story, let me clue you into what's going on. Herod has no intention of going to worship the baby Jesus. The baby Jesus is a threat to Herod, and he wants to see the child killed. In fact, later on in the book of Matthew, you'll see that Herod actually sends people to Bethlehem and they perform an absolute massacre, and they kill every male child who is 2 years and under. So Herod has no intention of going to worship the baby Jesus. Verse 9, "And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." All right, everyone, this is God's word. Let's pray, and then we'll get to it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We ask that by the power of your Spirit, help us to know the truth of your word. And by the blood of your Son, help us to know the grace of your salvation. We pray here and now that our hearts and minds will be ready and open to receive what you have for us here this morning. Lord, we ask for nothing more, nothing less here and now in the moment that you've given to us. Lord, we love you and thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So if you're like me, yes, in a lot of ways, Christmas is behind me. We have already taken down the tree. We've taken down the Christmas decorations. My mind has one focus, and that's on spring. And I know we've got a few dark months ahead of us, but that's where I'm focused at. But if you're like me, your family did put up a little nativity set. And as we put up that little nativity set, I think a lot of us missed exactly what we were doing. You know, we get out this nativity set, and it's cute. And we put out these three little wise men. And if your nativity set is like mine, each one of them is a different color because we want to be inclusive. And then we put out this little baby Jesus, so cute and adorable, who is way too white for a Middle Eastern baby. And then we put out this beautiful Mary, who does not look like she just gave birth in a barn. She looks like she's dressed up for a Christmas pageant. And all the while, we set this up, and it's cute, and it's adorable, and we put it in a perfect spot in our house, but we don't see, and we absolutely miss the powerful imagery of what we've just set up in our houses or what we see around town. So if I could summarize today's message in just one sentence, here's what I would tell you. The wise men give us insight into the image and the impact of Christmas, and that's really just the two different directions we're going to go in our sermon today. We're just going to look at the image of Christmas, and then we're going to look at the impact. So first, the image. First thing I'd have you know is that the world is to be gathered in the name of Jesus. The world is to be gathered in the name of Jesus. It says, "Now after Jesus was born, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.'" So again, these wise men, for Christians, for centuries, historically have been representative of the nations coming to Jesus. They were outside of Jerusalem. They were outside of Judea. They were from the east, or as it says in the original language, they were from the rising, which just means they were from the east where the sun rose. They were from outside their country. They were from a different nation, and they have come to worship Jesus. I'm going to shoot real straight with you. I know it can seem like Christianity is a thing that conservative people from the suburbs do on Sundays. I'm here to tell you, Christianity is so much more. It is meant to be so much more than that. Christianity is meant to be for every tribe, every color, every nation, every ethnicity, every social economic group. Christmas is meant for everyone. The gospel call is for the entire world. The most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world And actually, in the original language, it's not just world. The word there is cosmos. The entire universe, the cosmos, all of creation. This thing that happens at the birth of Christ is for all of creation, of all time, everywhere, for all people, for all eternity. This is the epicenter of everything that was meant to happen. And so no wonder that the nations of this little planet were gathered to the foot of Jesus. Globally, on a global scale, I found this really interesting, at a percentage rate, did you know that Christianity is growing faster than the world population? Pretty cool news. But I also have you know that Islam is growing faster. Percentage rate, Hinduism is growing faster. Sikhism, at a percentage rate, is growing faster than Christianity. See, we here in the West, in America, we're stuck in this little pocket of secularism in a growing secular world, but that's just our little bubble of the world. Globally, the world is becoming more religious. This is actually further confirmed with the fact that there are less atheists today than there was in 1970. The center of Christianity for many, many years has been in the West, has been in Europe and America. That is changing. The heart and the center of Christianity is moving away from America and from Europe, and it's migrating to what is known as the global South. When we talk about the global South, what we're talking about is South America, Africa, and Asia. Christianity is exploding there at unbelievable rates. It's phenomenal. But here in America, we are seeing a roughly 0.5% growth in Christianity each year. Do you know what is growing, though, where Christianity is having a 0.5% growth? Do you know what is growing? Complacency. That's what's growing in the heart of Christians, is complacency. We have our comfortable lives. What need do we have for a God? Because of our blinding intellect, we don't see the need for God's wisdom. We don't see the value in faith or living lives focused on eternity. We are so satisfied with our lives here that we are completely blind to the sin that is there that should remind us of our great need for God. The global South, again, the global South means South America, Africa, Asia. They have heard that the King has been born and they are rushing to the feet of Jesus, and they are being baptized by the thousands every single day. But we here in America, right, we hear that the King has been born, and we think, oh, great, Christmas music. Or, oh, great, Christmas music. Either way, we are completely missing the point of Christmas, that the King has been born. But we hear the King has been born, and we think, what need do I have for a king when I live like a king? And I'm going to tell you right now, in the history of the world, compared to everyone who has ever lived, if you're hearing me right now, you live like a king. And we think, what need do I have for the King of Kings? We here in America, we are quickly being left behind while all the world is rushing to Jesus and being baptized. We are being left behind. It won't be long before we here in America, we are the unreached people group. Because we just don't have a fire in our belly, do we? The wise men, they show us the nativity scene is a symbolic representation of the nations, the world, coming to Jesus. That's the first thing we see. The second thing that the image we get is that the world will have opposition to the name of Jesus. The world will have opposition to the name of Jesus. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Again, what we don't read is the horrendous act a few verses later when Herod has all the male children in Bethlehem slaughtered to try to stop this gospel message that has been born. But Jesus' family has already escaped to Egypt. But what this shows us is that the name of Jesus has brought opposition literally since the moment he was born, and we see this continue throughout his entire life. Why? Why such opposition to the name of Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because everywhere Jesus goes, he is a threat to the status quo of life. Everywhere he goes, he's going to disrupt what you got going in your life. And people are intimidated by this. Kings are afraid of this. Teenagers, they don't want to follow Jesus because they may have to give up their popularity. The world doesn't want to follow Jesus because we don't want to be found on the wrong side of culture. But Jesus has come to upend all of this and to upend our very lives. And as I stand here before you now, you know that there are people who hate what I'm doing. There are people who hate the message that I'm sharing with you right now. You know that there are people who have been killed and imprisoned for what I am doing and saying to you now, that I'm doing so openly and so freely and so legally. And it makes me wonder, what if I couldn't do this so openly and legally and freely? What if you couldn't gather here so openly and legally and freely? Would you still do this if your life or your freedom were at stake? What lengths would you go to come and do this, to come and gather? What risk would you be willing to take? What sacrifice would you be willing to make? Because people all over the world are losing their lives and losing their freedom to do what we get to do so casually. So my question for you is, what would you be willing to risk to do this? What would you be willing to sacrifice to do this? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I think the biggest sacrifice most of us are willing to make is to get up early on Sunday morning, when the call of the gospel beckons us for so much more, a so much grander, better view of life. And I'm going to tell you right now, Peace Church, if and when one day we have to go underground, that we can't do this so openly and freely and legally, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to continue to meet. Amen. Have your eyes and your ears open, because there may be a day where we have to speak in code. And in the first service, I said, I will make sure you find a way. They're coming after me first, okay? So I'll be in prison, but all y'all, you need to continue to find ways to meet if and when it happens. And here's what I'm saying. Until that day, don't take this for granted. Don't take this so casually. What we are doing is an absolute blessing that we get to do. In the history of Christianity, it hasn't been like this. This is unprecedented. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, he says, they will come for you, and they're going to deliver you up to tribulation, and they're going to put you to death, and you're going to be hated by all the nations for my namesake. I got to think, if I was one of the disciples sitting there hearing Jesus say this to me, I might be tempted to raise my hand and be like, Jesus, so why would we follow you? I'll tell you why. Because he is who he said he is. And that makes it all worth it. Jesus goes on to say in other places like John 15, he says, you're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. People are not going to like your Facebook posts when you post about me. He says, it's not going to go well for you every single day. We see Jesus, him and his message were opposed literally since the moment he was born, and this continued throughout his entire life. And if we want to be like Christ, that means we have to be understanding that opposition could come our way. So, second thing we see is that opposition is out there. The third image that we see is that the world will know God's plan by the name of Jesus. The world will know God's plan by the name of Jesus. It goes on to say, and behold, the star, when it rose, it went before them until they came to rest over where the child was. And when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And then opening their treasures, they gave generously. They gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Historians would tell us and commentators would tell us that this wasn't just a pocket full of gold and a little box of frankincense and myrrh. These wise men would have came with caravans of this stuff. You don't give a king a pocket full of gold. You give him treasure boxes full of it. That's what the wise men would have brought. You ever wonder why all of Jerusalem was in such a stir? Because a caravan came full of gold and tradable goods and desirable goods. And they all were like, where's this little baby that's been born? This caused a stir. And then they go and they give this to them. This miracle of a star lights the way. The miracle of the dream warns them. Like, everything that's going on here, what you need to see is everything in this passage revolves around Jesus Christ. Because everything in the world does. If you don't realize that, you're missing. You're missing something. You're missing the point. Everything in this passage revolves around Jesus and his gospel. Because everything in the world does. All of creation is centered on and hinges on Jesus Christ. The great plan of God is the gospel of Christ. And with this wise men, with them being symbolic of the nations of the world, we see that it's through Christ that the world comes to know God. So that's just a small slice of the image that we see in this little nativity set that we put up every year with these little figures. So much going on a global scale. So what's the impact? So what's the impact that we have on all the people? So first, we need to go back for a moment, and we need to revisit our primary text that we've been looking at through this entire sermon series, this great angelic announcement. Let's look at this at some depth right now. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord." Did you catch something funny here? The angel didn't just say all people. The angel said all the people. I'm going to tell you right now, before I go any further, what I'm going to share with you, this is not the stuff that goes viral on the internet. What I'm going to share with you is a very hard message that a lot of us even here will have a hard time swallowing. But it's what we see here. The angel doesn't say all people. The angel says all the people. The angel uses the definite article, the word "the." Does this make a difference? It crucially does. And this is the great tension of the gospel. This is the great conflict. This is the great struggle that we feel in the gospel. Yes, the gospel is a worldwide call. Every single person is meant to hear and have a chance to receive the gospel message. But this good news of great joy, that's only applied to those who receive this message. It's only granted to those who embrace this message. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, he says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Elsewhere, Jesus talks about this wide road. He said, all of the world is on this wide road. All the world is just following each other, going down this wide road, and it's going to lead to their death, but not you. Jesus says, I'm gonna call you and break you away from that big flow of culture, and I'm going to set you on a different path. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus says, not very many people will follow it. Not very many people are going to find it because the way is narrow and the gate to get through is small, but that's what leads to life. And you're not going to find it by following the crowd and by following the culture or by mindlessly going through life. You have to be intentional in this. This is the great tension. The gospel call is for the world, but not everyone is going to receive it. And add to this the reality, when the Bible just simply uses the word "people," we have to understand what's being said here. You know, I often talk about in the original language, in the original Greek here, what we find here is that the typical word, the most common word for people in the original text is this word "anthropos," mankind or humankind. It's where we get our word anthropology, which is the study of humans. But that's not the word that the angel uses here, or at least it's not the word that Luke records here. The word here, it's a more special word, "laos." It's the word "laos." And when we see this word in the original language, it's typically in reference to the people of God. Add to that the definite article, "the people," and we see that the angel's specifically talking about the people of God. In fact, this word "laos," it actually evolved into our English word, which means laity, which is an old word for church member or churchgoer. And so I know, I just took a few moments and talked about some really boring Bible stuff. And I'm willing to bet some of you tuned out for this. Well, okay, grammar lesson over, tune back in, and hear what I'm going to say. This is the moral of the story. When the angels announced this, that the gospel is good news of great joy for all the people, it is specifically in reference to the people of God and those who will come to know God through Jesus, who will believe in the gospel call. So I call you like the angel did. If you have not placed your trust and your faith in Jesus, let today be that day. Come to know that, fall into the category of God's people through the blood of Jesus. The invitation is for everyone, but only applied to those who accept it. So with that precursor, let's talk about the impact. So all the people are known by worshiping Jesus. So it says, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, and it says that they asked, where's the king been born? Then we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. It says, we have come to worship him. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were just filled with joy. It was overflowing them. And going into the house, because this is a couple years later, and then Jesus and his family probably moved out of the barn into more stable living. When they saw, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. I mean, it's really clunky to try to translate that into English, but it basically says they fell down and laid prostrate. They fell down, they got on their faces, they got on their hands and knees, put their faces to the ground, and they worshiped this baby in the manger, in a crib. It says, then opening their treasures, they offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. They offered him gold and tradable expensive goods. See, they didn't come to investigate. They didn't come to observe. They didn't come because their wife dragged them there. As men, they saw what was undeniable and they set off on their mission. And what was their mission? To worship Jesus. And when they saw him, they did. These respectable men who were invited to the company of a king. These men of means, these wise men, these kings of the east, these highly respected and revered men, when they saw the baby Jesus, they literally got on their faces and worshiped him. It had to be a phenomenal sight. These guys remind us, and I love this picture, these guys remind us that worship is not just a verbal thing. It is a physical thing as well. I think a lot of us here, we think we're worshiping when we're slightly singing under our breath. And I know, like a lot of us grew up in a tradition that it was disrespectful to move when you worshiped. That it was distracting or disrespectful, and that you just stood there, and worship was a thing inside your heart. Let me tell you, I guess I kind of understand that sentiment, but that's just not biblical. The biblical call to worship is a full body act as much as it is a full heart act. Jesus is really clear. Whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. It's going to come out in the way that you act with your body. So I'm not saying that you need to run up and down the aisles with a flag, but I am saying raise your voice, raise your hand. Move your mouth, move your feet. I don't see a picture in Scripture where someone isn't moving. They're not doing something with their body. These men show us worshiping Jesus is not just verbal, it's physical. It's a full body act. They came to worship, and it says they did. Because men stick to their word. They came to worship, and they did. I'm going to tell you right now, whenever I preach, I'm going to pour my heart out for you. I'm going to share as much of God's truth as I know. I'm going to give you every reason that I think of to follow Jesus so that you will come to know him and you'll have this great joy in your heart. But I'll also be honest with you, there's another reason I'm doing that. It's so that when the world looks into the window of the church, they will see a people worshiping Jesus. When the world looks into the window of the church, this is what they should see. They should see us worshiping Jesus. And you have to remember, the whole point of Epiphany Sunday, the whole reason that we're keeping the Christmas sermon series one more Sunday is because the wise men show us something that we have to be reminded of. The wise men show us that the nations of the world are meant to come and to worship Jesus. But I'm willing to bet, I'm going to make an assumption here on some of us here. Tell me if this is you. I'm willing to bet that when I talked about all of the nations coming to worship Jesus, you thought of everybody else. You thought of all the other nations. But what you need to understand is that the wise men, they represent us. They represent us here in 21st century America. We are the nations. When you put those wise men out, that's you. Praise be to God, we get to do what we're doing here and now because those men went, saw Jesus, went back and shared that message. That message continued to go throughout the world and throughout the ages until it finally arrived to us of what we're getting to do here and now. Epiphany Sunday reminds us that we get to be Christians because God calls all of the nations, not just the Jews, to the feet of Jesus. So the impact is that we are known and meant to be known for worshiping Jesus, just like the wise men. But the second way this impacts us is this. It says all the people are known by following Jesus. I love this very last line. Last verse from our last Christmas message says this, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. By another way. Would you say these three words with me? By another way. I tell you what, that is the true mark of coming to know Jesus Christ. Your life goes another way. Things are changed for you. You have a new set of priorities. Old commitments give way to new commitments. Old yeses become nos, and things you previously said no to, you now say yes to. Did you know that before the name Christian was invented to be applied to those who follow Jesus, do you know what the original way that Christians were identified? Do you know what the original term was? Followers of the way. This stems from when Jesus called himself, I am the way and the truth and the life. Originally, people who followed Jesus were called followers of the way. And I know exactly what you're thinking right now because I see some of your faces. Just like the Mandalorian. Kinda, actually. If you don't know what the Mandalorian is, he's got this phrase. And what does he say? This is the way. I'll tell you right now, that's more suited to be a Christian creed than a bounty hunter's creed. Followers of the way. This is the way. We don't follow the whims of culture. We don't follow what's popular in society just because it's popular. The Bible says that we are not to be conformed to the patterns of this world. We are to walk a different way. We are to take another way home. Why? Because this is the way. So as we packed away those nativity sets for another year, I pray that you are reminded that the nativity scene is an image of the impact that Christmas is meant to have on the world. I hope that you remember that those wise men, they represent you. So my question for you is this, is will you respond like them? Will you see what is undeniable before you and will you seek after it until you find Jesus? Because here's the great, beautiful reality of this, is they were drawn to Jesus by the miracle of the star. And that is the great beauty of people coming to Christ. It's not just you coming out and seeking Jesus. You are being drawn by God to his son. If there's a stirring in your soul, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and there's a stirring in your soul right now, that is God working in your life, drawing you unto himself through his son. And Epiphany Sunday, what more appropriate song to close out our Christmas message and our Christmas sermon series than with the song, We Three Kings. I love this song, and I love how it kind of takes the gifts that were given to Jesus, and it kind of helps us to understand a different aspect of who Jesus is. It talks about giving gold, because Jesus is our king. What do you give a king besides gold? It talks about giving him frankincense. We see that in the Old Testament. That was the burnt offering that was lifted up to God, because Jesus is our God, and myrrh. Myrrh is a burial spice, because Jesus is our Savior, come to die for us. So would you please stand and we're going to sing this song together. And as you're standing, I also want to remind you of the great chorus of this song as we sing Star of Wonder, that when we come to Jesus, it's because of God's miracle in our lives, that we were spiritually led to him as he, as the good shepherd, seeks us out. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy, and going into the house, they worshiped him. I'm telling you right now, you're in Jesus' house right now. So I pray that you would worship him now. Would you pray with me? God of the nations, God of your people, we thank you that Jesus has been born unto us, but not just to us. He was born unto the world. I pray that your truth is heard and your love is known in every family, in every nation, for your glory and in every person listening to me right now. I pray, Lord, that they would see and savor the image and the impact of Christmas, as we know that this little child who was born would grow to live a life on our behalf, to grow and to live a life that we should have lived, perfectly obedient to God, perfectly loving to his neighbor, so that he could be the perfect sacrifice, to be the sacrifice that we should have been. Lord, it should have been us on the cross, but Jesus took our place. So I pray, Lord, as we sing now, that we three kings, Lord, I pray that we are reminded that we are the nations that Jesus came to save. I pray that we are the people that Jesus came to save. And I pray that, Lord, that as we sing, we would sing loudly. We'd raise our voices, we'd raise our hands unto our great King. And it's in his name we pray. And everyone said very loudly, Amen. Amen.